Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm always intrigued and a little pleased by the surprises that come my way. I had another one in this particular year, and it just could be the company I'm keeping, but this particular year has been a unique one for me. I have not seen this before. The conclusion to the church year draws up all of those things together. I've never quite seen it in the same way. It could just be, of course, that Arletta does such a wonderful job that it just sort of oozes out and all over the place. It could be that I've been attending the text study over at First in Ballard. They're not a large group, but I always leave and thinking about something. It is a wonderful gift that any pastor who serves here will have the opportunity to enjoy. Or it could just be that my eyes have been opened in some way. I don't know. But here it is, that God is at work in amazing and wonderful ways. And yes, we've seen these stories, and I've heard them, I've preached on them for a long time. But the idea that God has come to earth and in Jesus Christ gives us a new life, and then goes through all of that we journey with him in Lent and into Holy Week, finally to the resurrection. And in the resurrection, this God, who was so in love with people that he sent his only Son, gives life. Gives life to Jesus Christ in the darkness of that grave. And then for a few weeks, we watch as he walks along with his disciples, finally at Ascension Day, to hand off to them the very mission of good news that he has been working on for 3 years and now says, good news, it's your turn. And they are not left alone, for quickly after that, the Spirit comes at Pentecost. Well, that's where the story is supposed to sort of end, but you know how church and people are. They can't leave these things alone. So we come the next week, and here we are, the Holy Trinity Sunday. And I have never seen before how this has so easily fit into this whole scheme. You know, I am not too far away from Nicodemus, and maybe you aren't neither, trying to figure out this whole thing. How can these things be, he says to Jesus. We know that you are a prophet or a great teacher who comes from God, or else you couldn't do these amazing things. And I too want to know how this all works. How can we say these things, that God is three in one? But then we turn around and say, but God is one in three. Is that the same thing? Is it not? What does each part mean? What do they do? I've heard the descriptions. I even heard a new one last night. Apparently, if you live in some place in California, where it's warmer than it is here, there's a plant that is called the yesterday, today, and tomorrow plant. Never heard of it before, which isn't surprising from my vast knowledge of plants, but it appears that when these things bloom, there's this bright purple, deep purple on the to the bloom itself. You come back the next day, and it's sort of a soft lavender. You come back the next day, and it's white. That's an explanation for the Trinity. Or if you want a more nutritious one, you think of a hard-boiled egg. You slice the egg in half, and there it is. You have the shell on the outside, and then you have the egg white, and in the center is the yolk. But they're all the same egg. Or you can go with the physics model of H2O. In one form, when it's below the temperature of 32 degrees and Fahrenheit, it's hard. It freezes. But if you warm it up above that point, it becomes a liquid. Keep on warming it up, and when it gets to 212 degrees at sea level, it becomes steam. All of these things, of course, the same stuff, but in different forms. So it's easy for us to think that God in some way and carries around job descriptions, that this is the task that this particular person of God does. This is what this one does. As if God is going to say, I'm sorry, I don't do windows. Or to say, I'm sorry, I'm a member of the union, you'll have to get and someone else to come and do that. That's not the way that God works. I'm pretty sure of that. But we want to make sense of this, and somehow it doesn't. However, what I have and finally managed to figure out is one word that sort of helps me out in all of this. The word is more. That whatever it is I think about God, God is more. When I think that I have God completely and figured out and I can put him in this particular box, God's going to say, but there's more. When we look at the work of God in the scriptures and how it works, it's never as clean and neat as that. There's always more. Paul says that the fullness of God, the moreness of God, was pleased to dwell in Jesus Christ. We see these things. We assume, of course, that God is the one who is invisible and has no physical structure and sits in heaven and pulling the levers and spinning the gears like perhaps the I'm sure in doing a much and better job than the wizard behind the curtain in The Wizard of Oz, but God is the one who is out there somehow. And yet, in the Old Testament, we find these wonderful places where Isaiah goes into the temple and he sees God. Woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips. And I dwell among a people of unclean lips, he says. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Well, if God doesn't have a body, what did Isaiah see? Well, there's more there. God came, apparently, and spoke to Abraham and Sarah, along with two others. Apparently, when God needs a physical form, God has one, because God has more. And there was a time when God needed more and became flesh and dwelt among us. And even then, we begin to see the Spirit at work as it has always been. We know how the Spirit brooded over the face of the waters at the time of the creation. We know how the Spirit is referred to as wisdom that calls in the streets and says, here I am, come and get what you need from me, the real stuff. And we see time and time again that it is the Spirit that is constantly at work in the lives of a people. Even here, Nicodemus wants to know how these things work. And Jesus speaks to him about the Spirit. There's always more. In ways that will not allow us to say we've got the whole thing figured out in ways that will not permit us to make any kind of assumption, but always to just sit back and give thanks for this kind of a God who is so great, who comes in so many ways, in such a way, but always with that same love. That God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him might not perish but have eternal life. That too is a great gift. This is a day to celebrate. One to know that God's goodness is beyond limits. One that tops anything that you can find on any source. You know, I keep on thinking of infomercials. Like, this is an opportunity. If you call right now, we're going to triple that offer. It's not like that at all. It's that God's goodness overflows and runs through the world wherever it is needed. God is indeed great and holy and everything that we ever need. Amen.